Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he went to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, a lakeside town near the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. In this way, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea on the far side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who lived in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began proclaiming the message, "Change your hearts and minds, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he watched two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They fished by trade. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of humankind." They immediately abandoned their nets and began to follow Jesus. Jesus walked along further and caught sight of a second pair of brothers, James and John, Ben Zebedee. They too were in their boat, mending their nets with their father. Jesus called them, and immediately they abandoned both boat and father to follow him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing all kinds of diseases and sicknesses among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. This is not the way I was going to begin this sermon, but I feel compelled to remind you of this line from the first reading today. The people walking in darkness are seeing a brilliant light. Oh, yes, it is good to see the sunshine. I said to Laura earlier this week that in this gray, damp, dark, long winter season, it's just hard to find motivation some days. I mean, let's face it, the Seahawks are out of the playoffs. The pitchers and catchers haven't reported yet. We can't plant anything, although we can look in our seed catalogs. And even when we do have a day off, it seems that our best companion is a good book, or a beloved person, or Netflix, and our sweatpants. There are also seasons in life when it is hard to find motivation for reasons other than the weather. Times when we feel burned out or just burned. Times when we can't see a clear way forward. Times when a big project has reached its completion, or the relationship has ended, or we have retired, or we're just plain tired, or we just can't spot hope on the horizon. In our gospel reading from Matthew today, Jesus has every reason to lose hope, to watch his own motivation fly out the window, because here's what's been happening to him in the gospel of Matthew so far. He was baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River, followed by 40 days in the wilderness during which he was tempted with all of the things that would appeal to anyone who was fully human, which he was. And then the angels came and tended to him. And that's where our reading picks up today. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he went back to Galilee. It almost seems like a throwaway detail, but this is the very reason that Jesus returns from the wilderness, where the angels are with him. And he comes back to an alive and purpose-filled ministry. John, his cousin. John, who leapt in Elizabeth's womb when faced with a pregnant Mary. John, who foretold the coming Messiah. John, who baptized him in the River Jordan. John had been arrested. And in Jesus' day, this did not bode well. Jesus knew this. John had been arrested for speaking out against the empire, for pointing out the flaws of the king. And with his imprisonment, this message of justice and love that he had been preaching would be silenced unless Jesus came and took on the task. So for the next 22 chapters of Matthew, Jesus is hard at work. And he begins in today's reading by taking up John's refrain, "Change your hearts and minds, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." And then he goes out and calls disciples, followers, helpers for his work, local folks with humble jobs. He calls them to leave their work and their families, their friends and their communities. He calls two sets of brothers, and I know of two sets of brothers in this space, so, you know, just heads up, guys. But he calls them and he says, "Follow me." And then, the text says, he sets out to teach and to preach and to heal. Because John is in prison. I have to tell you, for that as many times as I have preached on this text, for as many times as I have focused on the way that the disciples left all they had and followed Jesus, this is somehow the first time that I have been captured by this news of John's imprisonment as the catalyst for Jesus' ministry to begin. It was the spark to the match, and yet it must have burned within the heart of Jesus. We are being asked to live with and endure a lot as a society these days, in a world that has become polarized at an alarming rate of speed. We are being asked to declare our allegiances even before we can have constructive conversation. We are being reminded, and appropriately so, that the sins of previous generations still cast a shadow and will continue to do so until we do what both John and Jesus preached and turn around and repent for our silence and our complicity and try again. We are reminded with each new day of the price we pay for allowing guns to be freely accessed. Our city was reminded this week. Our elders are forced to choose some days between medicine and food, and inexplicably, we are somehow okay with entire neighborhoods of people living on and underneath our streets. These are just some of the challenges that we face as community. We each know deep within our hearts and spirits, though, the challenges that we face as individuals. Those things that keep us awake at night. The promises broken to us or by us. The regret for things left done and undone. The relationships severed. The child in trouble. The cousin in jail. It makes me wonder how Jesus could pick up and just carry on, how he could get himself down to the shore and call out those fisher folk to follow him, how he could muster up the energy to preach and teach and heal when his beloved cousin was in jail. And so as I wondered about that, this text began to offer itself up. It began to open up to the possibility that Jesus might have both set out on this very public, busy, determined ministry and still held the pain he felt for John. Because this could have easily turned into a sermon that admonished us to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and get out there and win over the world. Follow the example of Jesus and teach and preach and heal. But this is the same Jesus who wept at the grave of Lazarus. And this is the same Jesus who defended Mary as she poured out the last of her expensive perfume on his head and his feet. And this was the same Jesus who encouraged every outcast he met, who ate with them, who told them that they were God's beloved children. And this is the Jesus who we know when he calls our name. I believe that Jesus carried his cousin John with him in every task that we read about in the next 22 chapters of Matthew's gospel. I believe that every time Jesus retreated in prayer, his prayers included the well-being of his cousin. I believe that Jesus went about his work with some piece of his heart sitting in a jail cell. Beloved people of God, in this story, and in this forgotten and overlooked detail of this story, we are offered this gift, this lesson, this example. We do not have to choose between vulnerability and courage. We do not have to choose between being fine and being terrible. We do not have to choose between heartbreak and action. Those are false dichotomies. We can be bearers of grace in the world even when our hearts are breaking, even as we bear heavy burdens, even as we wonder what will happen next. For far too long, we have been told that following Jesus is easy and that to do it right, we must be happy, clappy Christians. Whoever told us that had clearly not read the Gospels. Almost no one makes it out alive. And the stories are not stories of successful conquering heroes and kings. They are stories of hurting and bruised and wounded people. People who carry around scars of what life has dealt them, even as they go about their business. And in Scripture, when conquering kings and religious leaders show up, they are the villains in the story. John's story does not end well. Jesus knew that it wouldn't. And so he walked around doing the work he'd been called to do with a heart that ached for his cousin. The text doesn't tell us that, but we know him well enough to know that this is true. He wouldn't have just forgotten about John and carried on. Here is what we learn from this one verse, this one detail. Jesus loved John enough to leave the angels who were tending to him and to return to Galilee. Jesus loved John enough to take up the work that John had been doing, which was preparing the way for Jesus. So in our pain and in our struggles and in our sadness, we do not have to hide our fears. We don't have to choose between being brave or vulnerable. Being vulnerable is one of the bravest things we can do. And today, in this reading, and in this way, Jesus shows us how. Thanks be to God, and let the church say, Amen.